Om Shanti. Good morning. So this morning is a very interesting topic, yeah? Freedom, discipline. No translation? So freedom, discipline, and Srimat. I like to share a very practical example to start with of freedom, discipline, and Srimat. Last night in Pandavabhavan, where I've been staying, Sheila Ben came to me and she had her cell phone and Mira Ben was on the phone. And she said, "Sister Carolyn, can you please moderate a panel discussion on discipline, freedom, and Srimat?" And the panel will be Sister Moira, Brother Enrique, and Sister Gopi from Australia. And I said, "Okay, yeah, okay, I can do that. Means I don't have to understand the topic fully. They can understand the topic fully. And I just ask them very tricky questions." And this morning in Pandavabhavan, when Sheila Ben announced the program for today, and she said, "And today there will be a class by Sister Carolyn on freedom, discipline, and Srimat." And I thought, where did the panel go? There was supposed to be a panel. And for me, really I just had that one thought as, in a way, like it was funny. It's like a joke in the drama. Because in all my years with Baba, I really know and trust absolutely in the drama. I trust Baba's hand of wisdom is behind everything. And for me, the freedom that comes from that trust and from knowing absolutely that whatever is happening is right is bliss. To not have a second thought. So the discipline is to not have a second thought. The Srimat is to say Haji, to say yes. And in the very beginning of my Brahman life, I remembered when Baba asked, when someone asked for me to do something, whatever, wash the dishes, you know, do the front of house at a public program, put the microphone out, introduce, whatever. The Srimat was say yes, and the discipline is to just do it. And the freedom that comes from that is beautiful because I lose the attachment to the identity that I have that says, "I can't do this," or "this is not me." All the many labels, the many sub-identities that sit within the subconscious mind, that sit within the old, old, old soul traveling along and says, "Oh no, that's not me. Oh, I don't do that." Or I remember the first time I was asked to speak in public was just to introduce World Meditation Hour for 3 minutes. That's all. And I remember panicking. I thought, 3 minutes? What can I say for 3 minutes? How do you fill up 3 minutes? That's such a long time. But it was the first time I said yes. And slowly, slowly, Baba shapes me. Baba gives me a new life, makes me free from who I thought I was, liberates me from the weight and the chains and the fear of the old story that is not real. The old paradigm of my own mental jail that the cycle has locked me into. So I want to ask you to do a kind of barometer of feeling, not thinking, right? Often in Brahman life we get caught a lot in thinking and we confuse it with feeling. But feeling is the thing that makes us actually do what we do. It motivates us. It inspires us. It provides the fuel to keep going. And our thinking, our beliefs, can only push us so far. And after some time, we run out of energy. So you have to find these pure feelings that then end up being the energy force that drives us home to ourselves, home to Baba, and home to a true life. So I want to ask you your feelings. And if this is, I don't like it very much on a feeling level, and this is, I love it, I want to ask you, everybody, to do this. If I say to you the word freedom, where do you sit in this? What's your feeling about the word freedom? Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? So show me. Okay, freedom. Where does it sit for you? Okay, I'm waiting for translation. Russians. Where is? Show me. Not very much or a lot? Okay. Okay, and some in between? Okay, it's about being honest. It's not about, oh, if I like it there, I'm right, and I'm good, and I'll make it to the 108. This is about becoming true to your own story, where you're at right now. It's not possible to return to the beauty and the truth and the wonderment of who we really are if we don't do a good, accurate assessment of where I'm at now. So, freedom here. Okay, discipline. Not very much. A lot. I love it. Okay, discipline. Okay. There's a lot of these. A couple of these. Maybe these ones too, but I can't see them because they're down behind the chair. Discipline. Okay, we've got a few here. Right. And I want you to be honest with this next one, not because Baba says, but Srimat. Where is Srimat for you? Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? Okay, honest. Okay, good. Okay, so that's just, it's not about getting it right. This is about an audit. Checking in. Baba says check and change. If you don't check accurately, you don't know what to change. So just checking in. Now, for me, freedom has been almost, I would say, early in my Brahman life, it was like an addiction. You know, I need freedom. And a misunderstanding of freedom. You know, don't try and control me. Don't. And with that freedom came this hunger for freedom, came resistance and rebellion and, you know, kind of pushing away. But this isn't freedom either. Freedom is where you don't have to do any of that. You're just completely, absolutely contained in yourself, moving through life. Nothing pulling you. Nothing attracting you. You don't have to resist anything. You don't have to fight anything. You're just free. But discipline for me, I have to say, was not, it was more like here. It seemed like the opposite of freedom. Can you understand that? It seems like a paradox somehow. One hand is freedom, the other is discipline. And I used to really struggle with how these two go together. And then with Srimat, I had a misunderstanding of what Srimat is. And I thought Srimat was about rules. And it's not about rules. So how to love freedom? That's maybe not so hard. How to love discipline? For some of us is a little harder. And even if you say you love discipline, maybe it's about stepping back and rethinking too, what is discipline? Because if you love from old sanskars, maybe it's not pure discipline. So we'll start to unpack a little bit these terms, these experiences. And Srimad. So it's if it's not rules, what is it? And I think the definition that I love most about Srimad is that it's God's mercy on us. That Baba has watched us through the entire cycle, and he has been connected with us. Because when we're not body conscious, when we're soul conscious, there is only oneness. There's no separation. You don't have to remember Baba in the Golden Age, because we are energetically, we're connected. If we're in a frequency of divinity, of the highest order of purest vibrations, then we're connected with Baba, because he's always that. We don't need to remember, because we are that. So when we move away from that highest order and we start to identify with the density of matter, we forget Baba, but Baba sees us, and Baba sees our entire story. And he's not kind of, I don't expect that Baba's sitting up there looking and wondering what we're doing, but he's connected. So his Srimad encompasses complete knowing, and everything that he tells us in the Murali is for our lives. And I was thinking about this. How do you listen to the Murali? You know, because the Murali is the Srimad. Yeah? Murali is Srimad. The most elevated directions. And the challenge is, do we come like a bhagat and listen to the Murali like a bhagat? Do we come like a university student and we take the notes and, you know, we think, what are the points? Do we come a tired old soul who really would rather be in bed in the morning, but we know we should have come, and so we sit there and we listen? Do we come and we listen through our ears and even through our intellects and maybe even through our hearts? But I was thinking to embrace Srimad, to understand God's mercy, is to listen with my life. So every morning I arrive and I'm present. I'm present fully with this journey of the soul. I turn up in the morning and I say, okay, Baba, I'm here today. Coach me. Show me. Give me the next piece in the puzzle of my story, of my return. And so I listen to the Murali with my life. And when I listen like that, then Srimad is not rules. And Srimad is Baba's kind of lifting up of me. This morning in Panas Bhavan, and Dr. Nirmala read the Murali, and she gave us a class after, and she said, you know, you have to follow Srimad 100%. And I smiled a little bit because I thought, yeah, but it's not real. Who follows Srimad 100%? I don't even think Dr. Nirmala does, because if she did, she'd be karmatit and she'd be gone. But the aim is there, right? The aim is to, how do I, with my life and with my heart, say, Baba, really I am yours. I have no idea how to get home. I have no idea how to get back to myself. But you do. And the wonder of God is that we get one Murali, 1 million students around the world, with 1 million set of sanskars, all different. All the combination and the way and the form, all different. Every single one of us, unique. Every single one of us, with a different way of coming home. And Baba teaches each one of us individually. But if we don't listen like that, if we don't sit with Baba's words, Baba's intention, and Baba's magic, Baba is the magician, right? If we come in and we listen to the Murli and we go, yeah, I know that Krishna's not the sermonizer of the Gita. I know that, and really, I've known it for 20 years. I don't need to hear it again. But that's not the point. What's Baba singing into my soul this morning? Am I listening like that? Am I present like that? And from before the Murli, what are the signals? You know, Baba's starting to open up the soul from Amrit Vela. And if you can stay up after Amrit Vela and you can write or you can read the Murli or study, reflect, what are the things that are starting to come to life? What are the sparkling moments, the insights that are resonating with where you're at, you the soul, in your journey today? You know, Baba's been saying forever to us, where's the newness? Where is the newness? He's not asking, really he's not asking for a new service program. Yeah, that will happen. If we become new in here and new in here, and our lives become new, service programs will be new. Because the external is only ever an extension of what's happening inside, isn't it? I mean, we know that. But how to reinvigorate, you know, Baba's the supreme guide, the supreme teacher, the supreme parent, the supreme friend, supreme, supreme. But how ordinary do we make Baba? And so Srimat doesn't stay as Srimat. It doesn't stay elevated. It becomes ordinary mat. You know, we kind of bring it down and just through our own way of being. So I think it's worth experimenting tomorrow morning. When you say, okay, it's one Murli, Baba is truly the magician of my life. He is returning me to being the most exquisite, precious thing. What if I'm present, I'm here, I'm listening with my life, I'm yielding, I'm surrendering to the magic that Baba can do. And I'm open to the possibility that today I will be different than I was yesterday. What might that be like? What if I was prepared to let Baba really do the work on me? Not just incrementally, not just, you know, I'm a little less annoyed today, you know, or I'm a little bit happier, but what if I was a different soul today? Not a different soul. What if I dropped baggage today? What if that happened? What if I became free? What if I had the discipline? What if I had the discipline to allow the possibility of that? Because one of the things about discipline is that very often, if you've come through the cycle as a good devotee, you know, a good religious soul, then discipline is externalized. You know, I'm very good at all the disciplines in Brahman life. I'm good, I'm on time for Amrit Vela, and I'm on time for meditation, I'm on time for Murli, and I take my notes and I study after, and traffic control and jam and 7 o'clock meditation, and before I go to bed I do my chart. These are important. Very important, you know. Baba gives us external constructs to help us contain and find ourselves again. So it's important, but it's not what discipline is. How can I have discipline in my thinking? So how can I allow for the possibility that today maybe Baba will really magically remove something, make me weightless, and not to allow another thought. You know, we're old souls. We've had half a cycle of not being very successful. We had half a cycle of being completely successful, of, you know, thought manifestation. So in the soul is the pattern, is the blueprint and the memory that we can do anything. That it's just thought and there it is. But that's half a cycle ago. And we now have a lot of failure even. I think I can do it. I try and it's like, doesn't work. Or really a failure. Or I feel embarrassed, or, oh my God, I'm never doing that again, you know. So we've got this pattern from the first half of the cycle, which is we know we're masterful. We know that we are beings utterly free. And we've got pattern from the second half of the cycle. And the pattern says, I sometimes can do it, but sometimes I can't, and I'm not sure I can try. Because what if I fail? So we have sanskara also of doubt. Doubting in ourselves. Doubting in the process. And sometimes that shows up as not even trying. You know, making excuses as to why we won't do something. And they're usually not because we might fail, they're all sorts of other reasons. And other times, fear of failure shows up as a kind of warrior-like. You know, you think you might fail, so you're going to conquer it instead. You know, you go even harder. And then there's things in between. But we don't have to live like that anymore. So the discipline is to not allow the sanskara of doubt. It's a sanskara, it's not a reality, doubt. It will come and it will start to tell you all sorts of stories about who you are and what you can do and what's possible and what's not. And the discipline is to not believe it, not even entertain it, not engage with it at all. To know that it is a protective mechanism. The soul has had to protect itself. And the way it's done that is it's developed an ego. When we've lost who we are, we create an egoic structure. And that's how we survive. So we've done that. And part of the egoic structure is doubt. But Baba is saying, leave that aside. Have the discipline to not engage with the stories that will start to be told in the mind. Another definition of discipline, which I think was drama's way of keeping me sane, maybe, because I was fighting this notion of discipline. And one year, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's 12, 13, 14 years ago when I was here. I was staying in Pandavabhavan in old Swadeshan Bhavan. And I went across to the bathroom and I saw this calendar on the wall. And it was, you know, just a typical calendar. But it had a saying, a slogan. And the slogan said, to be disciplined is to be a disciple to your values. And in that moment, it was like my heart burst open and the choirs began to sing, and I thought, this is the definition of discipline that I can embrace. Because to know what my values are, to say what is the most important thing for me, and then to be a disciple, to follow that, then that is honoring to myself. And you know, Hindi, the word for effort is purushottam. And it gets translated as effort. And I know in English anyway, the word effort has kind of heavy connotations, doesn't it? Yeah? It has this sort of hard work sort of feeling about it. And in Spanish it's similar, Italian, this sense you've got to work hard. Russian, same. Yeah, French, same. Okay, so we're all here, we're working hard because we've got to make effort. But actually, the word doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that sense of heaviness. What it means is to do that which is for the eternal self. To do that which is for the eternal self. So if I have a discipline to look after my eternal self, if I think that what's most important is to become divine, to become free, and the more free I am, the more I'm able to be of service, the better instrument I am, the lighter I am, happier I am. So then, what is they're telling me, what are these elevated directions that I can follow with my life that take me to that freedom? One of the really important things that I've learned over the last 18 years or so is to take Gyan, take knowledge and make it sing in my heart. So if a word isn't inspiring me or it has a heavy connotation, let me find out what it is and how I can understand it in the way that Baba's meaning. So how is he trying to lift me up? That's the work we have to do, because Baba will teach each of us absolutely personally. We have to go looking. We have to, as I said, listen with our lives. Someone will come and have a conversation with you, or, you know, you'll see the birds. The birds will be an instrument. I was in Chile. I lived in Chile for 2 years. And I remember one day I was feeling very, very, very heavy. Excuse me. And I can't say why. It was just a karmic heaviness. But I didn't have discipline to not engage with it. I let it own me. I became enslaved. I became one with the heaviness. You know that? Where you just surrender to the karmic passing. And I was sitting in this garden with two other people, and the heaviness had become such that the dialogue inside my head had started to match the heaviness. I go, oh, I feel like, you know, I feel terrible, what is this life? And, you know, just blah, 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 that made the heaviness even heavier. And all of a sudden, there was a hummingbird. Do you know hummingbirds? Have you ever seen a hummingbird? They're small birds And it came right in front of me. And it, like, literally at eye level. And they go like this. And it's a dance. You know, they go, and then you can hear it, they hum, and they're dancing. And it's right in front of me, being heavy and intense. And I looked and I just went, wow. I don't know what this is, I don't know how this works, but this message is for me. I don't know, the elements are serving me, nature's serving me, love is inspiring, I don't know how it works. I have to be available for the magic. I have to learn from everything. And that was like a gift to interrupt the downward spiral. And then I had to have the discipline to not re-engage, to take the gift, to take the learning and go up with it, to let the lightness penetrate my being. So if in this life, sometimes we're not very present. You know, we think a lot. We think about the future. We think about the past. We think about Gyan, maybe. We even think about Baba. But we're not present. And the biggest discipline probably is to be present. To be here now. Not thinking, how come I have to come to Harmony Hall and be in a class with someone I never heard of when Daddy Janky's downstairs? I'd rather go and, why am I not a teacher? I can go and be with Daddy Janky. But to be present. You know, I'm sitting here and all the teachers are next door. How come? No, be present. I trust Baba 100%. He is my guide. He takes me absolutely where I need to be. He, Baba, the drama and my beauty of my own truth will guide me at every moment if I allow it. But then our samskaras get in the way and we start thinking too much. You know, in Australia in January, the beginning of January, we had a national service retreat. It's the first one in 32 years where we got everyone from around the country who could come to be together. And so it was about 50 souls could make it for these 2 days. We went through a whole process. When we got to the end and it was time to plan what service projects we were going to do, there was completely unanimous agreement. Now, in all my history of Brahman life, I've never been in a meeting where there was 100% agreement. Not in the first instance. Sometimes after some time and, you know, conversation, eventually we go, okay, all right, well, let's go this way. But no, this was 100% easy, let's go in this direction, everyone agreeing. And the direction was that we cannot plan any service project until we all get back to the basics of our own Brahman life. We need to reinvigorate the wonderment. We need to reconnect with what this life is and how incredible it really is, because from that beingness, service will happen. Now, we said, okay, there's going to be different ways in which we do that. So we said, okay, imagine, you know, Baba says that our faces should reveal him. Someone should look at your face and they should say, wow, my father has come. Not the father of the Brahma Kumaris, but my father. So what kind of life, what way of being would be a life that reveals? And we said, what would be the different aspects that would make this life, this complete life, that just by being, people would feel their God. They would feel Baba. And there were a number of different aspects, that we would have a happy heart, that there would be variety and balance, there would be newness and creativity, well-being, that we would really engage in meaningful way with Amrit Vela and Murali. That we would have a sense of purpose. Then we all did an audit on ourselves. We said, okay, if this is a holistic life that reveals, where am I at with this? And if I were to choose one, which would be the one, if I focused on Amrit Vela and the Murali through that filter, really a big change would happen, that it would move everything. And that was an intuitive process. We sort of sat with Baba and said, okay, Baba, which is the one? Not from my head, but from my eternal knowing. Which one is the one that will reinvigorate for me? And for me, it was well-being. And I thought, well, well-being encompasses so many things, you know. It's interesting, isn't it? I talk about well-being and then I hold. And so for me, that's what I've been focusing on for the last month. And when I talk about freedom and discipline, you know, for many, many years, excuse me, I misinterpreted Baba's elevated direction, which was forget this old body. And many of us have done this. Forget this old body. You know, like, don't take care, ignore it, don't exercise, don't worry what you eat, all of that. Because it worked with my old samskaras that I could be dissociated, disconnected from the body. But it's not what Baba means. Recently I read something that said if we could have not even one thought about our bodies, they would be so well. They would be completely healed. They would be vital, healthy. Because we've got trillions of cells that all have intelligence about how to be. But because we've become body conscious, we obsess to think about our physiology, and that interferes with the intelligence of the body. So I thought, that's what Baba's talking about. He says, forget this body. Because in golden age, we don't think about the body, but we have perfect bodies. Why? Because we don't interfere with them. So I've been saying, okay, when Baba talks in the Murali, how can that reinvigorate me? So I was staying in the retreat centre near Melbourne, and I joined this small gym down the road from the centre. And, you know, the first week I was enthusiastic and off I went. I'm off to the gym. And the second week I had a lot of reasons why I couldn't go to the gym. But I went 2 days. And the third week, like, oh, I'm getting really busy now. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to fit it in. Has anyone else had this experience? Maybe not with the gym, but with other things. You know, your old samskaras take over from what your commitment was. Yeah? You know this? But you know, my experience was that when I held the discipline, when I said no, what is my commitment? What am I putting as the most important thing in my recovery, in the return journey to my own truth? What am I saying is important that Baba and I together caught? And that was wellness, holistic wellness. And when I say that, I go, okay, then I need to go for a walk. I need to eat salad and not halva. You know, and then I become a disciple to what is important. What Baba and I are working together that will recover. So when I do that and then I go to the gym, for example, I feel great. And one thing is, yes, it's good to make the body healthy and strong, and I feel good about that. But what I feel good about, what I feel fantastic about, is that I had the strength to claim freedom. Because the old sanskars, Maya, comes and whispers and goes, yeah, but really, it's really important that you do this other thing. You know, today, if you don't do it today, it's not going to get done. Look, there's visitors. You're expected to look after the visitors. Or, you know, if you're a mother, the children, I have to do the children, you know. There's any number of other stories that go on to keep you from being a disciple to that which you have committed to yourself is for your eternal greatness. Maya is the illusion that there is something more important than you. It is the illusion that there is something more important than your original truth, your original beauty. And it will tell every story. And so the discipline is to not believe in Maya. Not to believe in the stories of the old sanskars. So when I go and I feel the freedom from having overcome Maya's story and the old sanskars, what that does is I feel light. I start to, it's the flying stage. Because the weight of the old sanskars that have been with us for who knows how long, but in the last half cycle, the density. You imagine, like, get a visualization of this. The soul is walking through time, and behind is this vast kind of trail of big, heavy story. And we're pulling it. We're going, come on. And we wonder why we get tired. And then we turn around and we go, okay, I'll carry it. And so we embrace the whole thing. And we're moving. And Baba's saying, what are you doing? Why? Why do you carry the burden? You don't have to do that anymore. Actually, you can let it all go. I'll do it. But if you have one of those burdens is a sanskara of being responsible. Does anyone have one of those? Responsible sanskara? Russians? Responsible Russians? Yeah. Spanish responsible? Yeah. Then you go, all right, Baba, I'll give it to you in a minute, but I'll just take care of it myself now because, you know, I'm responsible. I'm an adult and I'm responsible. Mother's going, stop. Stop. Let it go. Trust me. And that's not easy. You know, we come to Gyan and we have a mental construct about what God is. Not even who God is, what God is. And then Baba gives us an experience. Then he gives it in very many different ways because we're all different. And he liberates us, yeah? You have the experience of being free from the weight of the personality that you've carried to the end. And you feel it and you go, oh, this is it. Yes, I'm here. And then your childhood ends and you carry the stuff again. And then we have to learn how to let go. We have to learn how to trust. We have to learn to know God. We have to learn to know who God actually is. Not God as a projection of our own end of the cycle sanskars. You know, that's the trouble. We listen to the murli through our own end of the cycle sanskars, through our own fears, our own hopes, our own dreams. But we listen and we interpret as best we can God and his elevated directions through our limitations. So is it any wonder we need the magician? So when Baba says, you know, practice soul consciousness, be bodiless, it's the only way. You know, it's the only answer. I like to share something. Before I came, I was just helping out at one of the centres in Melbourne, because there was a kind of gap in the crossover. Two of the sisters were in Mapan and there was one young sister who was there. And in this centre, the sister who's the coordinator there has traffic control play every half an hour. So we have jam for a minute, and then 10:30, 12:30, 2:30, 5:30, 7:30 is 3 minutes. And then at five other times in the day, it's 5 minutes. And so I find that I just start to do something and the music would go again. I'd be going, oh, you know, wait. And then I just start something else and there's the music again. And I started getting very frustrated. And when I should be bodiless and remembering Baba, I'm going, oh, what is that sister doing? She's put the music every half an hour. And at one point I saw myself, I thought it was very amusing. I thought, there's those sanskars of action addiction, right? And, you know, not wanting to be controlled and imposed upon. I thought, okay, so here is the moment. Discipline not to have another thought. I can choose to use the music as a time for being quiet, or I can continue what I'm doing if I want, or I can continue what I'm doing and connect back to my own eternity, or I can stop. But don't spend your time resisting. And I thought, what is it in me that won't allow me to practice being bodiless? What is it that resists surrendering to connecting to my own beauty, to, you know, having some structure that lets Baba into my life more and more? So the time that I was there, I surrendered to it, and it was very good. But to be able to know Baba, to be able to understand the Srimad, his most elevated directions, I have to practice soul consciousness. I have to practice the very first lesson, you know, who am I? I'm just a tiny spark of eternal energy. I travel through time. You know, it's a fantastic idea, isn't it? I travel through time. This form is nothing. You know, even one of the brothers who was very strong in service in Australia, you know, Manvinda, who looked after all the BK media and Baba's accounts, and he spent the last 2 years here in the hospital. And he left the body in October, I think it was, November, just after Dadiji. And we were all sharing about it, and we said, you know, that's it. Manvinda doesn't exist anymore. Even he's born in another body, in another family, another time, another place. Nothing of Manvinda is left. It's like Dadiji. Dadiji's gone. The part is finished. The soul carries on. Everything that they've accumulated, but in a different context, in a different form, in a different time and place, everything is new. So, Carolyn, gone. You know, when it's gone, that's it. So it's such a fleeting amount of time. Let's just take a minute. We're coming into a jam, but let's have two. Just take a moment. And brothers, we don't need to change any lights or put any music on. This is just a imagining, like, how quickly we can fly, letting go of all the weight of the sanskaras, of the tendencies, of the labels, the beliefs, letting go of everything, just dropping it, and becoming a spark of eternal being, the one that flies, weightless, that travels as light, at the speed of light, utterly, utterly free. And having a sense that you can look all the way down below and see the earth and know that there is a big play that's going on there, a huge drama of action and reaction. And it's as if you can see the tangled web of the karmas of humanity. And somewhere down in the middle of all of that is the part that you've been playing. And it's just a tiny, tiny part. And here you are, up above, completely free. And a thought, an openness, embraces Baba. And the oneness, the sense of being completely combined, means you become a master son of knowledge. If Baba is brighter than a thousand suns, and we are master sons, then the freedom is to shine like God. And the discipline is to align to that freedom. To trust that God is making me masterful. And that my light, when it is full and free, gift. And then it helps to melt, dissolve the sorrow of the karmic web. This is the angel, the remover of sorrow and the bestower of happiness. I am the heir apparent of that title. is who Baba is. And I am the master, the heir. And what if in this freedom I allowed myself to be open to understanding God as He really is? Baba, show me. Show me something I haven't understood. Let me see with new eyes. Feel with a free heart. And an unchained mind. I'm here with my life, listening. So, couple of more things that I feel for myself are really, really helpful in this understanding this area. And the first thing is about attainments. You know, Baba said this morning about attainments. He says a lot. And I think it's important to understand the difference between achievement and attainment. And you know, we come to this life from a world that the entire world sits in a model, which is an achievement model, that says, you're not good enough, you need to become better. You have to strive, you have to become something other than what you are. And very often we come into Brahman life and we just overlay that same model and mentality because we're still, you know, refugees from the cycle. We're still, you know, coming with our baggage and we just go, okay, I've got to become one of the, whatever, 108, 16,108, whatever. Okay, I've got to become like Daddy, like Diddy, like, you know, Antonella, like, you know, whomever. And we start, where are the bars in which we have to measure ourselves and achieve? And you know, Baba's not saying that. He's just saying, I've come to take you back to who you are. So it's not about achieving. It's not about achieving in that traditional sense where you're pulled out of yourself all the time. You know, that sense of, I've got to get there. And we think achievement's such a linear thing, you know, it's like, I've got to go out. But actually what Baba's doing, he's returning us. It's not about there. It's about return. And the difference between achievement and attainment is that at every step to say, okay, Baba, what have I attained today? When I apply this jewel, this simple piece of wisdom that you give me, and I apply it either internally in the way I see myself or the way I look at others or a situation, when I use that, what happened? Wow, I reclaimed some of my dignity or my peace or my power. I was not subservient. I didn't bow down in any way in that situation, but I didn't have to fight either. Wow. And this is attainment. And what, it's a very different model. It says you go and you collect. Baba's giving us back ourselves in the present. Reclamation. So in each moment, He gave me this wisdom, I used it, this happened, I felt like that, I attained. But I have to stop and acknowledge, this is what happened. I got back a part of myself. I am returning to my own grace. You know, who I am is more than enough if I can just be that more often. You know, Baba doesn't want another daddy or another dada. Baba wants me and you and you and you. He wants us. So he's returning us to our own grace-filledness. But we need to claim it. And that's the journey of attainment. That's a different model from saying, okay, I have to become that. What's my plan? What's my strategy? How am I going to do it? And then I fail. And then I beat myself up because I failed. And what happens then is I beat others up too. If I beat myself up, I judge myself harshly, I judge others as well. Yeah? Hello, is anyone out there? Yes. This is an important point. Is there anyone in the room who does beat themselves up, give themselves a hard time when they don't achieve what they think they should? Yeah? Yeah, it's crazy, right? Baba doesn't do it. When he speaks the Muli, he doesn't start out by saying, you are a bunch of losers. He doesn't. But we do that to ourselves. He wouldn't do that because he knows that to grow, to heal, to return, to believe, like to trust in our own beauty, we have to be kind of gently recovered. And so he does that with us, but we haven't learned that. And the attainment model is a kind model. It's powerful, it has discipline, it's firm, because it means you have to be disciplined and firm to claim it in a true sense. And to change, to check and to change. You have to have courage. You have to have courage to surrender to your own grace. You know, and discipline not to engage in the voice of Maya that wants to survive the ego or have the ego survive. So attainment, what am I getting every, and how is it making me feel? Because that is what we're doing. We're returning to fullness, not to becoming a thing, a concept, a fantasy, or a construct that's out there. We're reclaiming, returning to our fullness. So to attain and leave aside the achievement model. Understand how all virtues work in this and powers, because they do. It's not just a fluffy, nice alternative for the lazy people. At all. It takes a lot of discipline. But it's a different kind of discipline. It's not a whip. There's no mea culpa involved, you know? That's over, that's poverty. That's lack of understanding. You know, if you think the harder I am on myself, the better I'll become, it doesn't actually work. You think you become defensive, become closed down, there's no expansiveness because you're about, you know, if you have a go and you make a mistake, what happens? You get beaten up. So you don't try. You don't expand. You don't say yes. You say, oh, I don't know, I've got a cold today, or, you know, I feel a little bit unwell, or actually I have something else. You know, everything shrinks in that harsh model. So kindness, the discipline to be kind to yourself. And the other thing, I remember, I don't know, sometime in the 90s I was in a car with Daddy Janky in London and we were travelling somewhere from somewhere, no idea. And I was sort of bemoaning the fact that I just wasn't getting something right. You know, Daddy, I'm doing this and it's just not working, and, you know, I'm still stuck. And she just looked at me and she said, you know, if you're not happy, you've got the wrong method, so change your method. And that's it. And, you know, I didn't get it at the time because, you know, she has such clarity and simplicity, and I wanted to make it very complicated because, you know, my tragic inner world was so, needed some complicated thing. But it's true. If you're not happy, you've got the wrong method. And it takes discipline to change the method. Because we get trapped in our sanskars, the old sanskars, are thinking, no, I'll keep going and sooner or later I'll get it. And in the same way as if you're not happy, you've got the wrong method. If you're not free, if you're not feeling free, if you're not feeling light, you've got the wrong way of discipline. If you feel heavy, hard, cold, dry, but you're disciplined and you're following the disciplines, wrong. Really wrong. This is not an ascetic life. This is not a life that's supposed to be dry. It's supposed to be so rich, and the heart should be, you know, flourishing, opening, filling. We're in the first birth of the 21 births. It's not like if we're, you know, disciplined and hard and, you know, going really well now, that we'll rock up to the golden age and then we'll be happy. No. We're developing the sanskaras now. Excuse me. So, if you're following the disciplines, but you don't feel free, check what's happening inside in your understanding. See if you really resonate with, if you connect with the principle behind the discipline. Because if you're just caught in the externalization of it, it's just like fanaticism, you know? And what happens is you make the environment very hard. And you start imposing that externalization on others. And it becomes not a place to be liberated. It's not an environment where you walk in and you feel light and experience God, and you walk in and go, okay, what am I doing wrong? You know, I forgot my badge. Oh no. You know, you start in this whole kind of shrinking down to a whole lot of things that really maybe can be helpful, but aren't what it's about. So if you find yourself, and I'm talking totally from my experience, right? This isn't like you. This is as my journey. When I find myself feeling I need to control someone else and let them know how they should be doing something, I'm wrong. My discipline is wrong. In the NCO meeting last year, the National Coordinators meeting last year, someone asked the senior sisters, Sister Jenti, Sister Mohini, Dr. Nirmala, this group, how can you tell the difference? What's the difference between being really, truly loyal to Baba Srimad and being a fundamentalist? Because, you know, they can be so similar. And Sister Jenti gave a really exquisite description or definition. And she said, being loyal to Baba Srimad is when I do it for me. And being a fundamentalist is when I impose it on others. So when I listen with my life and I engage with Srimad as elevated directions from the highest teacher who totally has mercy for me, loves me absolutely as I am, because doesn't see my limitations, and I engage with Srimat in that way, that's when I can fly. When I take it from a kind of a more institutional religious mindset, and I take those instructions and I take them as a set of rules in which to advise everybody how they should live, that's fundamentalism. And there's no freedom for that. There's no freedom for me. There's no freedom for anyone else. And my job is not to impose anything on anyone else. Even in my own mind, you know? Like, no. Baba is making each and every one of us liberated. Liberation and liberation in life. Very simple. Freedom. And so if I'm not feeling free, I've misunderstood discipline. Discipline gives me freedom. Discipline allows me to rise into my truth. It lets go of all the shoulds, the must be, the have to. It says, be the beauty that you are. And I become free. And that is what Baba is here for, and that's what he's offering. So it's just worth checking, because to know the cycle, spin the cycle, know that I am a refugee of the last half, and I come, as a refugee comes into a safe land, you know, with a lot of pain, a lot of baggage, a lot of defensiveness, and a lot of projection, a lot of distorted perceptions about how things are. And I just know that, and it's okay. But not to impose that on myself as an absolute, and not to impose it on anyone else. To try every morning to be fresh and say, okay, as I am, who I am, here I am. And Baba, you make your magic. Let me understand you as you are in a new way today. Guide me. And how you're teaching me is so different from how you're teaching this person and everyone else. And only God can do that. But to know that and trust that, spectacular. Let's finish. Those who need to catch the bus, you probably need to go. And the rest of us, why don't we finish with some meditation, some freedom, some flying, letting go.